This is PhotoBizX, episode number 562, and you are going to love this episode today. Our special guest is Jessica McGovern. She is a UK-based pet photographer, primarily focusing on dogs and horses, but what she shares is how to target and attract high-end photography clients. These are the kind of clients who aren't hanging around on Instagram. You won't find them on Facebook, but there are strategies to connect with and attract these clients. And that's exactly what Jessica shares in today's episode. That interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here, host of the PhotoBizX podcast, where I interview guests from around the world to help you build a better photography business even faster than going it alone. And I know you're going to love today's episode with Jess McGovern. It's coming up in just a minute, and I do have a massive show for you today. Before we get into that interview with Jessica, if you didn't catch last week's episode with Andre Toro, make sure you get back and have a listen to that one. She is an incredibly successful business operator. She's only been in business for around 5 years, has incredibly high averages, and she shares the exact steps, including the mistakes that she made from going from a digital file only photographer to your classic in-person sales wall art photographer, and how she got to the incredibly successful position that she's in right now and the plans to grow it even more. So that's Andre Toro. She is an absolute powerhouse. I know you will love her and everything she has to share in last week's episode. I do have a couple of quick announcements that I'll share with you after the interview with Jess, but I did want to make sure you know that this is the last chance, if you are hearing this episode as it goes live, to register for Joel Dunn's Community Fundraising Marketing Masterclass. It's happening tomorrow morning. If you, again, are hearing the podcast episode as it goes out live, there are more details over at photobizx.com/community. It is the perfect way to get in front of your ideal clients by partnering with other businesses, other associations, schools, kindergartens, sporting clubs, anyone that does any fundraising and has your target client utilizing their services or their business. They will make the perfect partner business for you. And Joel's strategy gets your photography vouchers into their hands or into the hands of their clients who you want to have as your clients, and has them booking sessions with you. So if you want to diversify your marketing away from social media, away from SEO, and you're looking for other ways to generate inquiries, to attract more bookings, to get more leads, I know that you will love what Joel and Jacinta, his studio manager, will be sharing in tomorrow's masterclass. Now, the beauty of this strategy and why I bring up Jacinta is she was Joel's studio manager. She was the one wholly responsible for implementing and running this campaign. So if you have the kind of business where you have a studio manager or a studio assistant, you can pass this process on to them. They can do the training, they can implement this strategy, and you can focus on the shooting and the selling afterwards. Or if you're doing this on your own, come and implement it yourself. Now, it will work no matter what kind of genre of portrait photography you shoot, but it does not work for wedding photographers. So a bit of a bummer there. But if you are photographing portraits, go and check it out, because this is your last chance to get in at the special launch price of $197. The price will be doubling after the live presentation tomorrow morning. So again, more details at photobizx.com/community.
You're listening to PhotoBiz Exposed with your host, Andrew Helmich.
One last thing before we jump into this interview with Jess McGovern. If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. Now, that means you will not hear the full interview today with Jess. I am saving a large portion of the second half for premium members only. The good news, you can access the full interview for as little as $1 with a 30-day trial membership. And there are more details about that at photobizx.com/try. Set up your $1 membership, listen to the full interview today with Jessica, get access to the full back catalog, See what members are getting every single week from the full interviews. Check out the reduced prices for any of the additional courses. Get an invite to the members' Facebook group. See exactly what you're missing out on every single week. photobizx.com/try for more details on that. And I can tell you, you do not want to miss the second half of this interview today with Jess.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest produces the most stunning dog and horse photography you will see. And I mean it, her work is truly breathtaking. She works with clients both on location and in studio, and she says on her website that most clients tend to invest between £500 and £3,000 on their photographic session and artwork afterwards. She's based in the UK, obviously, and she is an international multi-award-winning photographer, which is unsurprising if you check out her Instagram feed, let alone her website. And she brands herself as Yorkshire's high-profile dog and horse photographer. In addition to her photography, she and her husband Dan are behind the online and in-person photography training platform, That Togspot. I'm, of course, talking about the super talented Jessica McGovern, and I am rapt to have her with us now. Jessica, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. That was such a nice introduction.
Well, I meant it all, and I've done a little bit of research. I know you're a mad keen tea drinker. Like I said, your photography is incredible. Yeah, like, tell me about your business. I know that there are multiple facets to your business. You have the photography business, which I know takes up a small amount or smaller amount of time these days. You've got that Togspot, and you've also got a marketing business. Tell me how you divide your time up and, you know, where most of the income is coming from.
Sure. I mean, dividing time is an interesting topic. So for anybody who does know us fairly well, my schedule is insane. It is absolutely rammed, but it's really important that I try and also put in some sort of like rest times and personal time as well. But I don't have a great social life, I'm not going to lie. I don't go out and do other things, and I rarely go on holiday. So I love work. And the reason why I love work is because my work I find really fulfilling. And so it doesn't feel like work most of the time. And I think that's the best place that anybody can end up at. So we have that Togspot is my primary focus. So me as an individual, that's my main focus. I spend usual, normal, probably full-time work hours on that Togspot. And then I used to do normal, full-time, well, 16-hour days on a marketing agency, which I've stepped back from now. So Dan handles all of that. That's sort of not really my domain. I come in and help with high-level strategic decision-making, high-level strategic planning, and very complex web-based stuff. That's sort of like my, I'll dip in to assist, but really not that much time-wise. And then my portrait photography is very much on, sort of like kind of on the down low, really. We don't market it because I don't want to fill my diary with it, because I don't have space in that diary to be filled with it. And therefore, the clients that we do get from that, that's primarily focused, well, it is, it's fully focused on referrals. So referrals is the only way that anybody can kind of get to us. So they have to have had some form of an introduction to what I do from somebody who's also had what I've done. So, and actually it's a really kind of special little exclusive thing going on. It's surprisingly effective as a marketing strategy in its own right, but it's not something that we kind of push. So I try and keep all of the businesses separate, and they rarely kind of cross over into each other. So a member of an audience that's found us on that Togspot may not even know that Jessica McGovern Photography exists. And somebody who comes in to Jessica McGovern Photography may know that Togspot does exist, but they're very different primary audiences, and therefore there's no reason why they need to kind of cross over. And then even less people who know those things know our marketing side, because again, very different client base. We don't tend to, we do, we have, but we don't tend to work with photographers who would know us from elsewhere. We work with, in that case, some small businesses, but primarily my focus working in marketing is with large national or multinational corporations on brand strategy and brand positioning, or a little bit of a refresh perhaps in terms of their markets, understanding of them. So kind of switching target markets or things like that. which is very boring bits and pieces. It's exciting for me. I find it fun, but it's been an interesting career. So that's kind of the split time-wise and kind of like what we do and how I try and keep them all in little silos. But day to day, I'll jump from one to the other all day. So in a normal day, I could be doing 3 hours on filming for that tug spot and then switch over and do maybe 2 hours of retouching for a portrait photography client and then move into 3 or 4 hours of website development or strategy planning for a marketing client that sells IT systems in the US, for example. So really varied, which is exactly how I like it. So I really struggle to just do one thing all the time. And so having big projects come in or something that excites me is really important.
Nice.
You asked financially.
Yeah. So give us a percentage breakdown. You know, how is it divided between the three?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So see, numbers and me aren't friends.
Roughly.
Again, if you know me, they'll be like, Jess and maths, it's not a good thing. So I'd say now, if we take kind of like this year, this financial year, which at the time of this recording is wrapping up, if we take this financial year as a split, then the marketing will be massively reduced from the previous year, just because of the projects we've got going on and how we're allocating our resources. If we took last year, though, which is a fairly standard year, I'd say, then we're looking at probably around about 60 to 65% that tug spot. Oh my God, now I'm going to have to make this add up to 100, aren't I? Right, hang on. 60 to 65% for that tug spot. And then, hang on. Honestly, I'm not that bad. Maybe 30% Bramapla and the rest portrait. So Bramapla's the marketing one. So you're going to have to cut that in post.
It's all good. So the portrait business is quite small at this point.
Yes.
And we're going to focus on that, even though it is a small portion of what you do, because I still think that is what sort of led to the success of that tog spot. Before we do dive into that, just give us a quick synopsis of the tog spot. I know it's an education-based website for photographers. Is it focused on business? Is it focused on post-production? Is it focused on getting it right in camera? Like, what are you teaching there? Just as a quick synopsis.
All of it.
Okay.
All of it. Everything in one pot. So I think that's one of the things that people like about that tog spot is that I don't just do one thing well. I kind of do a few different things well. And so it can kind of not necessarily be like a one-stop shop, but more of a people can get a rounded education from one place. And I think that's really useful. So we've got retouching free resources, courses, and then inside our membership, there's a big retouching section. And then all the same again for just shooting skills. And then all the same again for business skills. There's less in the way of free resources for business just because of our target audience for the free resources. It doesn't kind of get to that stage yet. But what we find is that they'll come through the freely accessible resources like on YouTube, for example, and then move into, oh, I want to start a business from this, and then move through the different kind of resources that are available.
Got it. Okay. So with the photography side of the business, which I said is dog and horse photography, I know you do some portraiture as well with people, but it's primarily dogs, particularly if I go through your Instagram feed. Mm-hmm. What are clients spending on average? I know it's not a big focus these days. But what are clients spending on average, these referral clients that are coming to you?
Although I said I'm not good with numbers, I love data. So I track everything. And although I can't do mental arithmetic, I can do spreadsheets and graphs. So that kind of thing, I've got that down and nailed. So our average client spend jumped actually due to a change in how I kind of run the sales sessions and how my pricing guide is structured. And so there was a change. So previously it was between about 500, well, lower level, about £500 sterling, up to maybe £2,000 to £3,000. Now, since that change has happened, the absolute minimum is about £1,700, £1,800. Up to £6,000, £7,000. So I think that's a very big, it's a significant jump. And all of that came from literally just tweaking some bits that has worked really successfully for our niche and our genre.
Nice. All right, I'm going to dive into that. Why do you keep pursuing those clients or that kind of photography? Is it to feed the tog spot? Like, do you need to have these clients to do in-person sales sessions to produce artwork so you have content for that tog spot?
No, and actually, do you know what? It's interesting because of the client base that we target with the photography. So because of who these clients' friends are that are then referred, a large portion of what I shoot for my portrait photography can't be shared online anyway. So a lot of it is sort of, they'd prefer it not to be shared online and definitely not filmed for resources as well. So it's a really tricky balance because I'm literally working with very, very, very private clients a lot of the time. And so that has its own sort of shift. So no, it's not necessarily for content, although if I do have permission, I can share some images from sessions. However, I don't like to say no to people, although I've got a lot better at it as I've aged, I'm not going to lie. I like to be able to help people. And also the thing about referral clients that I think is fantastic is that often the person who's being referred is fairly similar to the referrer, either in kind of like their views, their personality, their likes and dislikes, not obviously identical, but fairly similar. And so I know if I've had a great session with Danny, for example, then I'm going to have probably a really great session and also, you know, keeping the average fairly similar through because all the clients talk to each other. So I know, for example, when I photographed Jess's dogs and Jess had her viewing session, she purchased her products. I know that when Danny got in touch, she said, Jess told me about everything. So don't worry. I know what I'm preparing for. And when I spoke to her really, you know, casually after the session, I said, you know, what did Jess say? What happened in that? And she said, interestingly, she said, Jess will produce the most amazing work for you. Absolutely 100%. You'll be in love with the images. You'll probably cry at the viewing session. So prepare for that. But also just make sure that you prepare for the prices of stuff. So she'd already kind of covered off sticker shock. So it was never going to be an issue. And the client came in sort of ready to be able to invest that amount of money. And that's why it's a good thing for me to still accept the sessions.
For sure.
It's just a very easy process. Yeah.
Yeah. Why are their clients so private? Why don't they want to have their sessions videoed and shared?
So some of them do and some of them are fine. So we work with some, this is hard, it's hard to explain on the internet. So some of them are like normal people. And some of them aren't that normal people. They're still normal people. So they're not like, you know, high profile individuals. However, some of them are high net worth individuals, for example. And some of them are also just really private people. So I think that's helped also with the referrals because they know they're going to get discretion as well in the sessions. And even though we're literally only photographing their dog, we're also photographing probably their family, the family members as well involved. And perhaps they're wanting to just still get amazing artwork, but also know that they can trust the person who's doing that and the business that they're going to keep their information and their images also private. And so I think there's a trust thing happening there.
Sure. So are they generally wealthy people by the sound of it?
Not all of them. So the majority of the individuals who want to not be shared on the internet or not filmed, they are wealthy individuals. I wouldn't say that we're talking like millionaires and billionaires, but people who are quite successful and from quite traditional English families, perhaps with large properties or multiple properties, including holiday homes and things like that, that kind of an individual. So that's one hand. And then I've got a different set of clients who I would classify as a little bit more similar to myself, because I'm not like that. I'm not. But I do know people who are like that. And so that then helps. We were invited a few years ago to attend this event, and it was a charity shoot. So charity shoot, not photo shoot, an actual gun shoot, charity shoot. And it was clay shooting. So no animals harmed in the process of the shoot. But it's a big event. They raise millions for charities at this event. And it runs over 2 days. And it's invite only. Absolutely no social media, no coverage online. No one can come in and take pictures and share it outside. So it's very, very private. And they invite 400 to 800 of the UK's high net worth individuals to that event. And it was that event that was more instrumental in sort of thrusting us into that. So I was invited to do that after my first international title win was in the paper. So in the newspaper, one of the organisers who owns an estate in North Yorkshire took a clippy, cut it out of the newspaper and gave it to his secretary and asked the secretary to invite us to come and exhibit at this event and offer an auction prize. And that's what started that side of things. But I'm quite heavily involved also with the UK farming community. Not everybody, obviously, but I do know people in that community as well. And some large farms are also our target client. That's also a market that we've ended up entering into. So we're not talking like bankers and politicians and not that kind of thing. It's what we call old money.
I've got a good picture now. So my next question is, for the UK listeners, and there are quite a few, generally they'll say to me, Andrew, the only way you can be super successful as a photographer in the UK is if you live or you service people from the London area. That's where the money is. So are your clients, I mean, you've obviously targeted a wealthy kind of client in your area away from London. So what would you say to those photographers that live in the UK that are struggling to build a strong and successful, profitable business?
I think a lot of it comes down to, well, I think part of it is mental. I think part of it is in your head. If you think you can't run a successful business, you're never going to be able to anyway. So there's part of it is that if you think you can't, then that's the truth. But if you think you can, then that's also the truth. So mentally is part of the battle. The second thing is that I'm from technically born into, but I was like born in East Yorkshire, a place called the Yorkshire Wolds, which is like rolling hills in the countryside, farming community, adorable place, love it. So that's where I'm from. However, the Yorkshire Wolds is bordered by some like seaside towns like Bridlington, for example, which is fairly low economic area. So the same thing is true with Hull. So where we've just moved from, which is a different part of East Yorkshire. We were in a little village sort of to the west side of the city called Hull. Hull is notoriously a low economic area. So it's not an affluent place. However, if you look at Hull on a map, the West Hull villages, so the bits attached to Hull that are just called different things, they're all extremely affluent. There's Millionaires Row out there. So all I'm saying is that in every region, there is always better and worse, if we're, you know, being straightforward about it, different areas. And so a lot of it is the case of how you're portraying yourself, your branding, and also where you're targeting within your area. I moved to North Lincolnshire, which is probably even rougher, you know, as a location. I'm running a business there, I panicked because I was like, I've just come from servicing some areas in North Yorkshire, which is a little bit more affluent. And now I'm going to try and just inject my business here. Don't get me wrong, it was hard, partly because you're starting in a new area. There's always that difficulty. I'm bordered at that point by two places, Grimsby and Scunthorpe, which are about as fancy as they sound, you know? However, just south of me is Lincoln. And just south of me is the Lincolnshire Wolds. And I found my clients there instead. So it just meant that I had to just bob out of my area, which was all I could afford because I can't afford housing in an affluent area. And even now, we've literally just moved to Scotland. And I've not moved to an affluent area of Scotland because I can't afford it. I can't afford to live there. So I can't afford to live in the more affluent areas. However, am I going to target clients in my specific area? So around me, probably not. I might go to the next city over or the next town over and work in that market. So all I'm saying is part of it's mental. So you can, but also look really, really, really closely at your areas because there will be nicer bits. And then that's where you want to focus. And by nicer, I'm talking, you know what I mean. I don't mean it in a negative or derogatory way.
No, I know what you mean.
I don't live in a fancy area.
So let me take you back to when you were living at Hull. And you were trying to attract clients from the west side. I think you said that was the fancy side. Mm-hmm. Let's say you do a photographic session from someone on the fancy side of town. Do you bring them back to your, I'm going to say this in air quotes, you know, your lower socioeconomic house, you know, in the suburbs to come and do the sales session? And are you worried they're going to turn up and say, oh my God, look where Jess lives. Like this is, this isn't what we're expecting.
This is such a good question because, do you know what? I was talking about this to somebody the other day. So I, for the longest time, didn't. Do you know? I didn't.
Didn't bring them back to your place?
No, I didn't. And I remember saying to one of the clients that came from this event when they came for the IPS session, I remember apologizing for my home. It just fell out of my mouth. And I was like, that was the weirdest thing I think I've ever done because I've literally just apologized for my house because it wouldn't have been what this individual is used to, you know? So, you know, it's so funny, isn't it, mentally how we have this like judgy, we're very judgy, but I also think it's a valid concern. So when I moved to North Lincolnshire, I was in a doer-upper house and it wasn't a place where my clients would, it wasn't on brand, right? And that's the key. So it wasn't on brand for the branding that I was putting out, for the price point I was putting out, for the market that I was putting out. And therefore I didn't have anybody come to my house for IPS. I didn't have anyone come to the property. And instead I ran IPS. I went to them and marketed that as part of the thing. It's very kind of custom bespoke process. Everything's on your terms. I'll come to you. You don't need to go out. So you kind of, it's just communication, the way that that's packaged. And no one had any issues with that. That worked really well. For me, I had to price in another travel. So if I've traveled for the shoot and back, I'm also having to travel for the IPS session and back. And so that was how I ran that part. Now, since COVID, everybody is fairly familiar now with online IPS. So that's also a really good option. So just make sure that the area that's behind you in the video is looking really nice. That's all you need to do. Focus on one corner of a room, that's it. And just make it look nice. It doesn't have to be expensive. My YouTube corner originally, I think the total investment in that corner would probably have been about £80. And it looked perfectly fine. Looked really good. If I'd have turned around and filmed the other direction, less great. Less great. So there's always things you can do. When I moved to around the Hull area, again, I didn't have clients come back to the property, although I then thought, you know what, I need to save time for a part of it. Because for me, with the other businesses, it just wasn't becoming viable to travel an hour, whatever, to do an IPS and then an hour back. And so what I did was I made the front entryway really nice. And the room just off of the front entryway was my IPS room. And no one went anywhere else. All the doors were closed. Just made that part look nice. The front of the house, nice. The front of the property, nice and clean. And that was it. I then built the studio in the back garden, which then we invited everybody. And that was a very different thing. But I apologized when people arrived on the driveway. And then when they came into the studio, they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because you make the room itself on brand and it sort of carried it through. But no, I would recommend if anyone is in the same boat as me, or if they're targeting a different area, a different market, and they're feeling like they're a bit embarrassed maybe, then what I would say is just remove it as an option and do IPS at their home or do it online instead. And still do the IPS because it's still important, but at least then mentally, you're not going to be worrying about people judging where you live or anything like that. And the worry is taken out because, do you know what? Not a single one of those people that I apologized to expected me to be apologized. They were like, what do you mean? It's absolutely fine. Like they were like, why are you apologizing, you weirdo?
Yes. It's in your head.
Yeah. It was in my head. Yeah.
Now, I know earlier you dropped a little nugget about your changing what you're doing as far as the IPS that upped your averages. I'm going to come to that in just a second. But first of all, I'd love to know how you initially started getting into or targeting that upper echelon of clients, you know, in your local areas. Tell me, how did you get in front of those clients? How did you get those initial bookings before you started getting only word of mouth bookings?
It's difficult to sort of pin down to kind of like one specific thing. A lot of it was being in the thing, right? So let's rewind a sec. If we want that kind of a target market, but we're not that person, so that makes it way harder. Because if I was to ask you, you know, where does a really wealthy person shop? You'd probably just pick like a highbrow supermarket as your only single thing that you say. And that actually is not probably true. So it's a case of just stereotypes, which aren't always accurate. So that makes it very, very, very hard. Very, very, very hard. However, there are some things that my target market personally are all somewhat interested in. And that's things like country pursuits, you know, sort of like country living things. Those kinds of things are all where my guys live. So they either, you know, have a farm, they shoot, they hunt even, which is, you know, ethically, we're going to have questions on both of those fronts. But it's not about what I care about or what I would do or I wouldn't do. It's about what the client would do. And so I've got these things sort of in my head, and then you can sort of start to work back as like, where do they shop? What events would they go to? So my target client would be one of many people who would go to horse trials, for example. So Bramham horse trials, Burley horse trials. So I've photographed on behalf of a client, their horse ridden by a different rider who I think's the current UK GB champion in eventing.
So this is like a dressage event.
Yeah, so it's 3-day eventing. So it's dressage, show jumping and cross country. And I was booked to be at this event for 4 days to just photograph one horse doing all of its things.
Oh, so you're commissioned by that horse owner.
Yeah.
But how did they find you originally? Like, how did you get in front of them?
So that's, again, just being in, part of it's being in the right place at the right time. But that's an important thing, because if you're not anywhere, then no one's going to know about you. So you have to actually be doing something to put yourself out. Now, where that client didn't find me is social media. So they don't find me on social media, partly because they're not really on social media. That level of client isn't on Facebook all day. You know, they're not on Instagram all day. They might have social media, maybe to keep up with family and friends, but they're not going to be commenting on 400 posts on Facebook. That's not where they're going to be. So for me, social media for that business is kind of null and void. They maybe read the paper with a morning cup of tea. So press and PR is really important. Hence, you know, where that gentleman found me who organized that charity day. So press and PR is important. Being out at events, whether it's that you have a trade stand or whether it's just that you mix and mingle and you just talk to people. And I'm an introvert. That's hard.
So, okay, so let me hold you there, Jess. So you turn up to an event, you're at the shoot, and they're shooting clay pigeons or targets or whatever they're shooting, you know, or you're at this dressage event and you're not hired, you just turn up there because you know that your people are there.
Yeah.
Just give me an example of one of these conversations. Like, how do you get into someone's head and have the chance to say that, you know, I'm Jessica McGovern, I'm the premier horse and dog photographer of Yorkshire?
Well, I definitely wouldn't say that. No, so first of all, I wouldn't just rock up. So that's a really big thing. So I wouldn't just turn up, because I'm already an outsider. So I'm not going to make me stand out more like a sore thumb in that scenario, because that would make, again, it's more mentally, that would make me so uncomfortable. I'm sure an extrovert might find that less terrifying. But for me, I'd be just stuck in my car terrified and I wouldn't come out. So that's not going to work for me. So one thing that you can do is...
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
I love it. I love it. Jess, let's finish off with a question about something you mentioned earlier. You said that, you know, when you photograph for a client, you might have, say, 15 or 16 images, and you've got all these layers, and then you just copy all those layers across and do your masking afterwards. Like, that sounds pretty full on to, I'm sure, to some listeners. Is that the kind of thing that you cover at the Tog Spot? Like, do you teach that kind of thing?
Yeah. So yes, definitely. So retouching for my clients can be anything from like a heavily involved commission. So which would be hours and hours and hours and layers and layers and layers, usually spent on the retouching for a standout piece or a composite piece or something like that. And that's a little bit different. That's more kind of covered in one of our online courses, which is a little bit older now, called Lost Souls, which is like 12 hours of retouching is involved in that. It's insane. But my normal client stuff, there's a client end-to-end workflow, including full shoot behind the scenes and all of the picking and culling and all of the retouching. That's in the membership. So the membership has, I think, 40 or maybe a little bit more full edit workflows inside it, all different styles, all different subjects, some studios, some outdoor. And then there is shooting resources as well, both in the membership and on online courses. And then business stuff, we do a sort of business webinar every month and a Q&A. And I just started to laugh then because my Q&A is often full of a bit of tough love, which the guys in the membership RM talks, they love that. They love that from me. But sometimes I'm like, guys, come on. So yeah, a bit of an accountability partner perhaps. But yes, in the membership.
So once you join the membership, you get access to all the videos and the Q&A and the marketing. Like, you get all that.
Yes. Yeah, so the divide for us is online courses are separate. Membership is separate. So you pick, you doesn't have to be one or the other. A lot of people get both and mix and match, but the membership does not include our online courses. So that's a very important distinction to make. However, our membership includes monthly Q&As. There's one on business, one on imaging. It includes a magazine as well. If you want to receive a members magazine, it includes monthly webinars, at least one on imaging, at least one on business, some tips as well go out each month. And then a community of just absolutely wonderful people. And I know people say that, you know, this, you know, if they're trying to make people think that their community is great, but our community is absolutely amazing. There are people who have gone through really, really, really tough times, and the other members, everybody just has everyone's back, and it's a really nice place to be. And I absolutely don't tolerate any nastiness or anything like that. So it's a really, really safe place. A really, really good bunch of people as well. So people come for the content, but they stay for the community. That's definitely true.
It sounds like another community that I know very well. My one.
It's just, I feel like we have to sort of just look after everybody. And I think as creatives, as photographers, and even as business people, it can be quite lonely. So it's nice to just have other people who are in the same boat as you, maybe not in the same boat, but we're on the same sea, the same ocean. And just to be able to have that. And I think all of us have been in Facebook groups and stuff that perhaps haven't been super welcoming and super friendly, especially if you're maybe new. And that's something that I wanted to basically just give people another option, which I'm guessing is the same as yours, where it's all just nice. It's not always great. Like, there's bad news, there's good news, there's commiserations and deliberations, but there's also successes, and everyone's winning awards and stuff now, which is crazy. So yeah, it's a good bunch.
I love it. And I love the fact that you actually teach photography and Photoshop and Lightroom as well. That is amazing. I don't do any of that. So your community sounds fantastic. Is it only for UK photographers?
Oh, no, goodness, no, no. So we have members from all over the world, from South America, North America, Asia, Africa. I think there's a couple now, lots and lots in Europe, that's for sure. But a lot in North America, to be honest, and then even Australia and New Zealand as well. So I've got some in China, Singapore, all over, everywhere.
Unreal. All right. So I'm going to add links to your website so we can show that off in your Instagram. But where should we go to learn about the TogSpot?
Pretty much just thattogspot.com. And there is a double T in there and it'll look wrong, but it's right, I promise. So thattogspot.com. And then on there, there'll be bits about like become a member and online courses and one-to-ones and stuff like that. So there's all sorts of stuff on there. There is also YouTube, I guess. I still post to YouTube, but not quite. It's a much looser now. Before it was like every single week there must be a seriously educational piece of content, whereas now sometimes it's a vlog, sometimes it's a tip, sometimes it's calling out something weird in the photography world. It's a real mishmash now. It's very real instead of being quite so, you know, hardline, but there is still good stuff on there.
Nice. Well, I'll link to that and also thattogspot.com in the show notes so the listener can easily find you and check out more of your work and get a good sense of your teaching style from YouTube as well. Jessica, it's been incredible to talk to you. You're amazing. Like I said, over and over and over, your work is incredible, and it's been fun chatting to you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great. Really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jess McGovern as much as I did. Jess, if you are listening, again, thank you so much for coming on, for sharing everything you did. I've said it a number of times, your photography is absolutely beautiful. It is stunning, incredible, and it's no wonder once you combine that with your marketing strategies, you built the successful business that you did. So again, massive thanks for coming on and sharing everything you did. For you, the listener, I do hope there were a ton of takeaways from what Jess had to share. If you would like to check out some of her work, I've got examples of that, plus everything she mentioned in the way of links and where you can find her online, where you can go and check out the training platform, that Togspot. It's all there in that one spot over at photobizx.com/562. And if you are a premium member, I'll be adding Jess into the members Facebook group, so you'll have easy access to her there. Maybe you have a follow-up question, or you just want to clarify something that she did share in the interview. You can do that inside the members Facebook group. I have one big shout out for today's episode, and this one goes to Bozeman family photographer Bruce Mulbrat. He is based in the USA, and he left a wonderful 5-star review in the Apple Podcasts area. He says, "I've been a PhotoBizX premium member for several years now. Every week, Andrew dives in deep and asks the questions of his guests that actually move the needle forward on my business. No fluff, just good, solid information. And with the recent changes to Facebook, I was having some challenges creating a Facebook ad after purchasing the Facebook Ads course. Andrew didn't stop at just answering a few questions. He sent a quick video tutorial and even jumped on a quick Zoom call to help me with a few bits that were confusing me. I can't recommend this podcast enough. Going premium is an absolute no-brainer. Thank you so much for all you do. Cheers, Bruce." So, Bruce, massive thanks for taking the time to leave that wonderful review. It was a pleasure to jump on that Zoom call, have a chat to you, and get your Facebook ad set up. I had a quick look before I started recording this episode today, and I could see there were over 30 comments on your post. So it looks like the Facebook ad is going great guns, which is great to hear. And yeah, so if you do purchase a course from me, from PhotoBizX, and something doesn't make sense or something's changed, which will probably be the case if it's anything to do with Facebook ads and the ads manager, because it is always changing. If you do get stuck with anything at all, you just let me know. I will either record a short video for you showing where things are, if something's moved or changed, or I'll jump on a Zoom call with you and point you in the right direction, because all I want is for you to be successful with your business, with your ads, with your marketing. I want you to be able to build the kind of business that gives you the lifestyle you want. And if I can do that any way that I can, I will. I'm here to see you succeed. That's the whole reason I started and have created PhotoBizX. It's for you. It's for you and your success with your photography business. So, like Bruce, if you get stuck with something, let me know. We'll jump on a call. I'll record a video or some audio. We'll send you some messages, but we'll get you pointed in the right direction, and I'll do everything I can to make sure what you're doing is successful. A couple of quick things before we wrap up this episode of the podcast. If you are a Pixaloo Smart Slides user like I am, you may not be aware, but there's been some fantastic updates to the Slideshow app. I was having a chat to Daniel from Pixaloo, and he made me aware of these, and I jumped onto their blog to see what those changes are, and they sound and look amazing. There's now an auto cropping function, which is really cool, particularly if you do shoot in both landscape and portrait mode. There's some new themes. There's also this new mobile download option, which makes it heaps easier to share the slideshows that you create or for your clients to share them. And you can also now create slideshows in vertical format, which are just perfect for stories. So go and check out the updates if you're already using Smart Slides. If you are not already using Smart Slides or Smart Albums, go and check them out over at pixaloo.com. It's P-I-X-E-L-L-U. Both of the apps are incredible and 100% worth checking out. If you do sign up for either of their apps, make sure that you use the promo code or the discount code PhotoBizX15, because that'll get you 15% off either of those apps or both of them. And you can find them at pixaloo.com, P-I-X-E-L-L-U.com. And if you haven't already heard enough from me, I was interviewed last week by Kirsten Lutz of the Camera Shake podcast. It was a long conversation. It was a fun conversation. We talked all things photography and business. So if you would like to check that out, I've linked to it in the show notes, but you can see the YouTube video. You can listen to the podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search out Camera Shake and you'll find There I Am with Kirsten on the latest episode. And I'll add links to where you can find them in the show notes for today's episode as well. Alrighty, that is just about going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. My plans for the rest of the day are to get this all edited and out to you. I'm going to start setting up the course page for the community fundraising marketing strategy that will be presented tomorrow. Then off to the gym for a quick workout. I'm hopefully going to get a few holes of golf in before it gets dark with my younger son, Jordan. And then this evening, I am looking forward to catching the replay, if it hasn't already been spoilt for me, of the cycling classic, the monument even, known as Liège-Bastogne-Liège, which was held in Belgium last night. It looks freezing cold, super hilly, and is usually one of the best races of the year. So I'm looking forward to catching that later tonight. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I hope wherever you are in the world, things are going well. Stay safe, healthy, and well. And I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.